Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, September 13th, 2023, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprouts. You can also check out my Facebook page and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. All right, so let's start with something happy, and that's that. Well, if you enjoyed 5783, you just got a few more days of it, because come Friday evening, it's going to be Shabbos and also 5784. So, Lashana Tova, Tikatevu to all of our Jewish listeners and anybody who celebrates Rosh Hashanah. So, that's coming up. I'm going to get a hold of Dee's One Smart Cookie and get myself a gluten-free challah. So, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to spending time either live or on the Zoom with my friends at B'nai Israel to celebrating the new year. Looking forward excitedly to that, and they were so kind and they gave me a reading to do, so I'm hopefully going to be able to do the reading. It all depends on some stuff. So, as you know, I've been struggling with some health stuff. I must say, my leg is almost all better. It's starting to feel stronger and stronger. I do still have some reduced sensation in the left side of my leg. My physical therapist, Olga, thinks that I have really tight fascia there because my back pain is virtually gone and my nerve pain is virtually gone. So the pain that was radiating from my lower back down my rear to the front of my leg, that don't have it anymore. It's wonderful. So it's possible to heal nerves. That's very exciting. So if you're patient, I mean, it's not for everybody, but in my case, it did heal. If you're patient and you can give it 6 to 8 weeks, it'll heal. That's what we said, wasn't it? 6 to 8 weeks. And it got better. It's very exciting.
And we talked about that amazing thing called patience.
Yes. I know, but you don't know, because one of the things, if you read, you get nervous that you're going to lose function of the nerve. And that didn't happen. The nerve is getting better. This nerve can heal. And I had reduced function of my left leg. Now when I'm walking, the leg definitely feels stronger. And I feel like I'm using walking to strengthen my quads. And that's exciting. And I'm thinking that on Wednesday, I'm going to try getting back on the bike. Probably going to rain on Wednesday. So if it's raining at the time that I'm ready to get on the bike, I will be on the Zwift, so that's fine. And that'll be nice, because I'll be on the trainer. That's a smart way to start. And, you know, I'll go short, you know, either 5 miles or half an hour, whichever, something like that. And that'll be it. And we'll see how I do. Right now, I am actually more concerned about my nervous system than I am about the orthopedics. I have a trip to go see my mom in a couple of weeks. I'm very excited about that. I'm hoping I can get down there, because there'll be lots of relaxation and sunshine and pool and beach and mommy and like that. And that will be very nice. I'm looking very much forward to that. And so what's really exciting about this rehab is the only conventional medicine that I did for this rehab was occasionally take a naproxen, and that's it. I stopped taking the naproxen at all maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't even remember the last time I took one, because I don't need it. I don't have that kind of pain. But the things I have done that have been wonderful have been physical therapy, craniosacral therapy, acupuncture, and chiropractic, and some massage. And I think the best things I've done, the things that, not that any of those things weren't good, they were all terrific, but lately I have been just doing physical therapy of care that I've been getting from another person. I've been just doing physical therapy and acupuncture, and they're both amazing. So I'm very, very grateful to my practitioners. Big shout out to Olga, and a big shout out to Nicole for giving me good PT and good needles. Yay, I really recommend acupuncture. I think it's a wonderful thing. So that's much better. So then we were talking about my nervous system. And so the condition that I have is called titubations. Anyway, so it's kind of scary. So what happens to me is if I am not in a good place, and I'll explain why, is my head will involuntarily nod up and down or shake left to right. If I'm in a really bad place, my trunk will shake as well. And I looked that up, and that's a very specific kind of tremor called titubations. And it's usually because you have some kind of a nervous system issue. It can occur in Parkinson's disease. It can occur post-stroke. It can occur in a lot of things. For me, I'm figuring out, I'm assuming that this is what goes on. It happens when I am inflamed. It's not necessarily that I'm upset, but I am inflamed. I have inflammation in my body. Because the last time it happened before this current round was when I had actual COVID, and it happened one day where I had done, 2 weeks after being diagnosed with COVID, I tried to do weight-bearing exercise, and I got the shakes after that, and I just couldn't tolerate the exercise. And so the last time I had symptoms was a week ago today on Labor Day. I had a wonderful day the day before Labor Day on the 3rd. And then on the 4th, I was miserable with shakes after going for a short walk. And then I finally said to myself, you know what? Maybe this is Lyme disease. Maybe it's not just, a post-infection reaction. Maybe I actually have Lyme disease after all. So I went in the kitchen. I had already taken some antibiotics that I had stopped because I thought maybe it wasn't Lyme disease. And I took all my stuff. I took the antibiotics, probiotics. I'm also taking oregano oil. I'm taking Japanese knotweed tincture and Chinese skullcap tincture. And I'm taking modified citrus pectin. And I'm taking two herbs for detox, berber and pinella. Berber helps you to detox your brain. No, that's not right. Pinella helps to detox your brain. Berber helps to detox, enhance the function of your liver, kidneys, and lymphatics. And so I'm taking all of those things. Is that everything? And I'm taking a type of silver. It's an enhanced colloidal silver product. When I'm done with that, I will probably go and get a silver nanoparticle product, which is a silver hydrosol. And so I'll continue to take those. So I'm not just taking the antibiotic. The antibiotic I chose to take was amoxicillin because I didn't want to deal with being sun sensitive, and I didn't want to deal with the digestive upset of that. Whereas any antibiotic taken long term is going to do stuff to your colon because it changes your gut flora, unfortunately. But I'm taking good probiotic to help to prevent that, and it's working. I'm taking a lot of 10 billion Saccharomyces boulardii a day. And I'm taking a regular probiotic as well. You have to realize that regular probiotics that contain bacteria in them can be killed by your antibiotics. So you're kind of doing one of these. So if you're able to ingest a lot of probiotic, it's good. When I was feeling really sick last week, I had nausea and I could barely eat. That's all gone away. I have an appetite. Appetite's fine. Yay. I'm very happy. I have to be careful not to eat too much sweet stuff. But I am able to walk now. And because my orthopedics are good, the walking is great. And I walked previous weekend, I had walked 40 minutes around Lebanon Green. And then a couple days later, I had the bad symptoms. This time I walked 2 miles 2 days in a row and I'm fine. So I'm very excited about this. So I probably have, in addition to having this vaccine inflammation, I probably have Lyme disease, because now that I'm treating myself for Lyme disease, all those shakes and symptoms have gone. So how long am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to finish the antibiotic course. I'm taking amoxicillin twice a day, along with all of the other things. The amoxicillin will run out after about a month. I've got, I don't know, two weeks plus left of the amoxicillin. And so I'm going to take that along with the special probiotics. And then once I'm done the amoxicillin, I'm going to continue to take my stuff that's not antibiotic. I'm going to take the probiotics, everything else that I'm going to continue to take. And how long are you supposed to treat Lyme disease? Do you know how long you're supposed to treat Lyme disease?
Until it goes away.
You got it. Until you are well.
Yeah.
Not only until you are well, probably a month or more after you're well, just right, to make sure.
And what protocol is that from, concern in comparison to what they used to tell you?
Well, what they, I mean, what they do when you go to the, when you go to the MD, the MDs give you antibiotics. If you're lucky, they'll give you 21 days. And the thing is, the lifestyle of the spirochete is about a month. I mean, really, you should, if you're going to have antibiotics, my opinion is you should have at least a month of antibiotics. And if you're doing other things, if you're doing, if you have the guidance of a naturopathic physician or you, you know what you're doing, then if you're doing those other things really do help. So when you take oregano oil, one of the reasons I'm taking the oregano oil is so that I don't get a superimposed infection in my colon because I'm taking the antibiotics for so long. Also, the carvacrol, which is a an extract, a constituent of oregano oil, is anti-spirochete. I am also taking some enzymes. I'm taking natokinase, and one of the things natokinase can do is it can help to break up biofilms. And so biofilms are proteins that the spirochetes make so they can protect themselves from you getting into them, from your immune system getting into them. And what does Mariah say, my buddy Mariah? She says, and she says, and we, of course, we get this from Dr. Burriscano and all of our great Lyme teachers, Dr. Cameron and Dr. Horowitz and Dr. Moorcroft, all those great people who treat people with Lyme disease all the time. What is the most important way to treat Lyme disease? Do you know?
No.
It's to strengthen the immune system. Because when you treat with antimicrobials, what you're doing, and this is true of any infection that you have, when you treat with antimicrobials, all you're doing is you're giving the immune system an edge. So you're taking down the level of microbes that you have so that your immune system doesn't have to work as hard fighting them. So if you have only X number of cells, whatever's left, your immune system can go after, because it's not, taking antibiotics is not going to eradicate the infection. It's going to significantly reduce it, but it's not going to eradicate it. And the nice thing is when you take natural medicine, it doesn't mess up your flora the way that antibiotics can. So you do the antibiotics because it's quick and dirty. It will break down spirochetes quickly. But then, you know, you back that up when you're done the antibiotics with taking herbs and things that, herbs and other supplements that can help you to get rid of it completely. And then you do the other things. You avoid sugar, you avoid processed foods, you don't eat a lot, don't drink alcohol, you get a lot of rest, and you get exercise as tolerated, and all that stuff. I'm thinking that one of the reasons I got symptoms after I do a lot of exercises, probably I was having a Herxheimer reaction. A Herxheimer reaction, just to remind you, is also known as the Yarish-Herxheimer reaction. Herxheimer reaction is when you are taking an antimicrobial and you break down microbes, the microbes break open and they expel their contents into your system, and the contents are toxic. So you're not actually being sick because you're trying to fight the microbes. The microbes are dying, but their contents are in your system. So you have to get rid of those. And that's what things like berberine and pinella help you to clear. And drinking lots of water helps you to clear. Taking Epsom salts helps you. Taking fractionated pectin or modified citrus pectin helps you to clear those things. So all these things are really helpful. So you can't just treat the microbes. You have to support the immune system, and you have to support detoxification. And you don't just do it by taking supplements. You do it by having a healthy lifestyle. And I'm fortunate that I don't have too much going on in my life right now. I mean, I have my job, which is intense. But this weekend, I didn't have anything planned. It was so nice. Ron was away, which was fine. I don't like it when Ron's not in the house, because when I sleep, I get nervous. But he came home. Here he is.
Yeah
this is his hand.
That's my hand.
So that's good. I'm more comfortable when he's in the house. If we had a dog, I wouldn't be as worried. But we don't have a dog. So
but then we'd have to take care of the dog.
I have to take care of the dog. Right. Which at some point, we have to get a dog. Because I would love to have a dog. Dogs are great.
Again. I
have to take care of the dog. I know.
You do have to take care of the dog.
Take care of the dog. I know.
You don't have time for that.
Not right now. No. We neither of us really do. So I'm feeling much better right now. I'm very happy. so much better that I'm starting to feel antsy, like I want to move more and I want to do more stuff. I actually made a salad yesterday, which was very nice because we have
that was nice.
We have a ridiculous abundance of produce right now because it's that time of year. We had extra cucumbers that you had gotten from the food share, right? Yeah. And then somebody, some really nice person left four. Somebody, some really nice person, I don't know who, a mystery person left four cucumbers on, they left four cucumbers on our porch. So I'm assuming it was a neighbor. So thank you, neighbor, for whoever that was. And if you want to identify yourself, I would appreciate it.
It might be Christian.
Two of those enormous cucumbers got turned into a beautiful Israeli salad. So here, if you want to make Israel, this is easy. There's a lot of things you can do in an Israeli salad. Israeli salad is supposed to have chopped onion in it. I don't put the chopped onion in because I don't do onion well. But I did three basic ingredients. I diced two enormous cucumbers and put them in. And then I took two large tomatoes and one small tomato and diced them. And then I took a can of water chestnuts and diced them up. I could have put in more water chestnuts. I think two cans would have been nice because it gives it a beautiful crunch. And then I put oil and vinegar in. And I dumped a bunch of parsley into it. It would have been nice with fresh parsley, but I forgot to get fresh parsley. So I had dried parsley and dumped a bunch of that in, dumped a bunch of dill in. And then I put in some Italian seasoning and some salt and pepper. And it was really good. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
Really good. And I made a huge amount of it, so we're going to be eating it for a couple of days, which is great. And once we finish that, I'll make another one with a different seasoning profile. I've already got the wheels spinning. So if we eat it up by Wednesday, I'll make more on Wednesday. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with my health. I feel like I'm moving along. Hopefully I'm past this autonomic weirdness. The other thing that I was concerned about is that I was trying to research and hook up titubation with autonomic dysfunction. And I couldn't really do it. I couldn't find where tremors were truly a symptom of autonomic dysfunction. Tremors are a symptom of a neurological issue. So they're definitely a symptom. If you have something neurological going on, tremors are definitely a symptom of tick-borne illness, especially Lyme disease. So I said, well, you know, I spend time outside. I know I got bitten by a tick. I thought the tick was too big to have given me Lyme disease. It's not 100% clear if the current Lyme disease is a new infection or do I have chronic Lyme that was hidden and was being managed and it came out because my nervous system was jarred because of all the other things going on orthopedically. That's not clear. But certainly treating for Lyme disease, once I started treating for it, I'm a lot better. So we're onto something here. And what do you do anyway when you're treating for Lyme disease? You're treating inflammation and you're doing detoxification. So whether I actually have Lyme or not, the only thing I'm really concerned about and my acupuncturist is concerned about is the fact that I'm taking antibiotics because of how it does things to your microbiome. But I reassured her that I'm going to be taking the Saccharomyces boulardii. Why do you take Saccharomyces boulardii? Because it is a probiotic yeast. So the word probiotic means that it's an organism that you ingest that is so happy that you ate it and gave it a wonderful place to live that it does wonderful things for you. It's you live in symbiosis with it. You ingest it and it gets a great place to live and hang out and flourish and reproduce. And meanwhile, it makes nice things for you. It's like having a housemate who plants a garden and cooks for you and cleans the house and fixes things. And that's, Ron is my probiotic. Ron is my human probiotic.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he keeps my, maybe you could say that he's a probiotic. He's also a prebiotic. He's literally a prebiotic because he cooks excellent food for me, which includes lots of produce and vegetables. And,
I cook for the queen.
So if you eat a lot of produce has prebiotic in it, and prebiotic are starches that probiotics live on so they can grow and flourish more readily. So Saccharomyces boulardii is a probiotic that's a yeast, and just because it's yeast doesn't mean it's bad for you. Not all yeast are bad for you. Candida, if it overgrows in your body, it can be harmful for you. But Saccharomyces boulardii, all the yeast is a one-cell organism that reproduces by budding. That's a yeast. And if it's a probiotic yeast, that means it's a yeast that's good for you. And it can't be killed by amoxicillin or other antibiotics. It can possibly be killed by oregano oil, because oregano oil can kill anything. But the combination that I'm doing, the Saccharomyces boulardii with the oregano oil and the amoxicillin, it's working. My GI is okay, and I'm tolerating it. And so it's important, my opinion is it's important to take Saccharomyces boulardii whenever you're taking any antibiotic, because it can't be killed. And then if you go ahead and do high amounts of other probiotics, you'll, to an extent, I mean, you're taking an antibiotic, so it's going to kill stuff, but then you throw in probiotics and it'll have some kind of lifespan and do something for you. So I'm continuing to take good quality probiotics, and I'm drinking some kombucha. I'm eating yogurt most days, and the yogurt, because I don't do dairy, I'm doing coconut-based yogurt. I found a new brand of coconut-based yogurt. I'm psyched to try it. And so I'm ingesting a lot of prebiotic and probiotic in the form of food. So as I do that's going to help with my immune system as well. Remember that the biggest part of your immune system is basically your microbiome. So the biggest part of your immune system is in your gut. It's in your colon. So it's really important to have a good microbiome. So once I'm done with the antibiotics, it's really important for me to keep that up to replenish my microbiota. Because when I stopped taking the antibiotics last time, it just took me a few days to get where I felt like my belly was, my colon was back to normal. My colon's not 100% normal, but it's not terrible. It's tolerable. So that's good. All right. So that's what's going on. The other thing I must say that I think that in terms of inflammation and rebuilding my discs, I think that aside from the wonderful care I'm getting from my practitioners, the other thing that is helpful is if you're watching on Instagram or Facebook, I have taping. So I love KT tape, or, you know, Kinesio tape. This is not KT brand, but I love having my knee taped because it keeps my knee more stable. Olga thinks that this is not, there's nothing broken in there. She thinks that I just have really tight fascia and I have patellofemoral pain syndrome. And that's what's going on. And so it's out of alignment, and that's why it's tweaking. And what used to happen is I would go to Dr. Suez, the chiropractor, and he would adjust my knee and it would get better. And I wondered too if there was some Lyme in there, and we're going after the Lyme with the antimicrobials. So it'll do better without the Lyme on board. So the tape has been wonderful. The other thing I'm doing is using a foam roller and foam rolling, because foam roller is you buy it once and that's your massage therapist for a while. So I'm using the foam roller because, you know, when I go to see Olga, she does work on my fascia. So I can do my own work on my fascia when I'm not with Olga. And you buy that once, it's doesn't cost too much. And then you have it for as long as it holds up. And that foam roller has held up for a couple of years now, and it's great. I have one there, and I have one at the office. I have one in Florida. They're cheap enough that you can afford to put them in different places that you go. So, and it's, my opinion is it's a good idea when you have a foam roller to get the longest one you can find so that you can lie on it, and so it covers your entire spine from head to sacrum. So that's a really nice way to open up, because, you know, what do we do if you're watching me on the videos? When you're on your computer, you're coming forward and your shoulders are rolled forward and you're in like this. So when you lie in the foam roller, you can open up your shoulders and open up your chest, and you get some opening through those muscles there. Likewise, if I'm on a bike, same thing, I'm rolled forward. And so when you do exercises where you stretch and you open up your shoulders and open up your chest, that's really helpful. So lying lengthwise for your spine on a foam roller can be really helpful for that. You could also lie on your back on a bolster, where you put the bolster under your lumbar spine. You could also lie on an exercise ball, a Swedish ball, the great big one, and lie that way on your back so that your back is arched concavely, so that you are basically in cow pose, if you will. And The other thing you can do, there are yoga poses you can do to arch your back and to help it come out of that position. One of them would be Sphinx pose. Sphinx pose, you get on your elbows and you tend to want to be straight from your head to your sacrum. There's not much of a bend in your back. But if you come up into Cobra pose, you definitely do bend your back. And it bends in the direction that you want to counteract the rolling forward that happens when you're sitting at a computer and also riding on a bike. And there are other poses you can do as well. You can do yoga mudra behind your back, where you're clasping your hands behind your back and you're pulling your shoulder blades, anything where you pull your shoulder blades together. If it's hard for you to clasp your hands, you can just hold onto a strap or a belt or a ribbon behind your back and try to bring your shoulders, anything you do to try to bring your shoulder blades together, that's going to open up your chest. So that's really helpful too. So there's lots of things you could do there. All right. So there you go. All right. So I'm going to talk about some nice calming things today. I felt like doing that. We'll see how much of this we get through, because my next two topics, we're going to talk more about some herbs that can help with Lyme disease. And we're going to also ultimately in the next couple of weeks get around to, I had somebody ask me about those drugs that are helping people with fat loss. And they were concerned about those. So we'll have a conversation about that. And that might be in a couple of weeks, depending what we get to today. But I'm prepared to talk about that because people are very interested in that. Should I take those things? Should I not? Should I get bariatric surgery? You know, and my feelings about that are mixed. Of course, just to preview, if you can avoid taking the drugs and if you can avoid getting surgery, that's better. Some people, they're just too obese and they're just so stuck that what you have to do when you're talking about bariatric surgery and taking pharmaceuticals that help you with fat loss, so you have to do a risk-benefit analysis. And sometimes the risk-benefit analysis is in favor of the surgery or the meds. It really depends on the person, because it's not big. It's not a good idea to be class 3 obese, to have a BMI of over, you know, in the 40s or above. What about being just over 30 in the BMI? Well, that depends, and that depends on the person. So it depends who I'm talking to. And, you know, you can't make that decision. You can't make a blanket statement about any of this stuff. You have to talk to the person, whoever it is, and look at what they're willing to do, what their resources are, how affected they are by their size and their obesity and their other comorbidities. Like, do they have terribly high cholesterol? Do they have metabolic syndrome? Do they have insulin resistance? Do they have, blood sugar dysregulation? Do they actually have diabetes? So the thing is, when you take those drugs or you get surgery, those things can actually resolve. So it really depends on the person. If the person can do it without doing surgery, or drugs, that's better. Anyway, so we'll talk about that in a bit. Okay, so let's now talk about I want to talk about something nice, like how meditation reduces inflammation. Want to know how meditation reduces inflammation?
Sure.
Yeah. So, and you can do it. People are concerned that, I don't have time to meditate. I have to spend an hour at it. No, you don't. 10 minutes is great. You must have 10 minutes in your day. If you spend a little time in the world of wellness, you'll find out that inflammation is not good for you. Science backs it up, and it doesn't matter where the inflammation is, whether it's your GI or your skin, or you have cognitive issues, or you have musculoskeletal issues like I do. Inflammation can be part of that. So meditation can help with inflammation. It is linked to lowering inflammation. Inflammation and meditation are connected. It sounds weird, but it's true. So Mark Hyman is a big fan of this, and he puts up stuff to talk about why meditation is so good for you. And he actually wrote a book. So Mark Hyman wrote a book with Rick Hansen, who's a PhD, called Neurodharma. That sounds fascinating. That sounds like a book I would want to read. And it helps to tell you how meditation helps the body to fight inflammation. So it's all about, wait for it, you're going to be shocked. What hormone do you have to lower to it? What hormone does meditation lower?
I have no idea.
I'll give you a hint. It begins with a C. It ends with an L.
Okay. No idea.
It's cortisol. Woohoo!
There you go.
All right. So cortisol is the stress hormone. It's released whenever your body is stressed, and that can spur a chain reaction in your body that makes you alert and full of energy. It also mobilizes your immune system to respond to a potential threat, and it creates cytokines. So if you already have cytokines on board and then you get stressed, you're going to be that much more inflamed. That's what happens to me because I have this, you know, level of inflammation that I'm working with. So the stress response is good when you need it, like if you want to run away from the bear. But if you have that low grade chronic stress all the time because you have kids in a commute, and a job and a stressful job and lots of hour and maybe even an ailing relative that you're taking care of, and you just have way too much going on, that's that chronic low grade stress, and you're making cortisol all the time, and you're not using it to run away from the bear, you're using it to manage your chronic low grade stress, and that's just not good for your health. So what does meditation do for you? It has a lot of healing benefits. When you slow down your breathing and your heart rate, your cortisol levels drop. When people may live with a low level of stress, when you regularly meditate, it helps to lower your cortisol. So the default setting is in a calmer mode. This is what I try to explain to people all the time. If you meditate regularly, and meditating can simply be sitting still and breathing deeply. It can be as simple as that. You reset your threshold so that your stress response threshold is higher, so that it takes a lot more stress for you to get into that high cortisol state. People who practice meditation regularly can slow their heart rates faster than people who don't. Meditation specifically decreases some inflammatory markers. It decreases C-reactive protein and interleukin-6. I didn't know that. That's wonderful. And those are blood markers of systemic inflammation. And it reflects the positive brain changes and stress management that it supports. So how long do you need to meditate for? That's what everybody wants to know. I don't have time to meditate. That's what I hear. You don't have to live like a monk. You don't have to live like a, you can, 10-minute regular practice, that's all you need. 10 minutes, that's it. You have 10 minutes, don't you? A few minutes every day can have a lot of effects on your biology. So when you want to cultivate a meditation practice, you want to do it consistently. It's much better for you to do a few minutes each day than for a long time once in a while. So, you know, I say the same thing with yoga. It's much better for you to do 10 minutes most days than it is to, oh, well, I want to go to yoga, but I have to get to the class. I can't get there. I can't spend an hour. Because, like, now, God love yoga studios. I think yoga studios are amazing. And if you can get to the yoga studio, that's ideal because you get community, you support local business, and you get the wonderful benefits of an hour, hour and a half class. But if you can't get there, that's why yoga studios now have... give you the ability to do their classes through Zoom, which I take advantage of a lot because, you know, if I'm trying to lower my stress level, sometimes it's just better to not leave my house. And when you're done with your yoga class, you're home. And that's really nice. It would be really great, like if I had less going on and less stress, I would, you know, be more likely to go to a yoga class live. But the other cool thing about doing yoga class on Zoom is you can, if the Zoom is offered, you can take the yoga class from anywhere in the world. So you can, when I go to Florida, I have done this before, I'll probably take classes at Yono which is the yoga studio I like in Willimantic, I'll take them in Florida. The other side of that is if I'm sitting here in Mansfield, I could take a yoga class in Portland, Oregon if I want to, if they have Zoom available. So you can try yoga classes anywhere in the world. That's the beauty of this internet deal here. However, what I try to tell people is, you know, they talk about, well, I want to meditate, but I can't get there. Well, I want to do yoga, but I can't get there. That's why I encourage people to do it at home. And if you're not somebody who can do it on your own, that's where you get guidance. That's where the internet comes in. There is no charge meditation and yoga all over the internet and Qigong as well that you can find. And like I said, if you do 10 minutes most days, that's better for you than just going to a studio or a live meditation once in a while. And meditation doesn't have to look the same for everyone. Meditation can be seated. It can be standing. It can be walking. It can be lying down. It can be in your bed. It can be here in this nice futon in Ron's studio. It can be in your yard. I have gravity chairs outside. I love my gravity chairs. So I sit in my gravity chair and I lay back. And when I lay back in my gravity chair, my legs are a bit higher than my head. I look up at the sky and I can see sky and I can see trees and it's wonderful. So it can look any sort of way for you. And you can pray. You can have a prayer book that you can pray from. That counts as meditation. You can just focus on gratitude. And you can do a meditative walk. When I was in Nova Scotia many, many, many years ago, I lived walking distance from the Shambhala Meditation Center, which had been started by Shogyam Trungpa, who's a Tibetan Buddhist Rinpoche. And he felt that the people at Naropa needed to move to Halifax so they could learn about loving kindness. So he set up the Shambhala Center there, and I did a meditation weekend there. And we would sit in meditation. I can't believe how long I spent in meditation. And we would also do walking meditation where we'd get up and be in meditation and we'd sort of walk in a circle around the room. So you can certainly walk gently and slowly in your house or in your yard in a meditative way. And you do it mindfully. You do it with the same mindfulness that you would do it if you were doing a seated meditation. And any that can work for you. And all it involves is being slow and breathing deeply and being mindful about where you are right now. There's different styles of meditation. So let's find out some styles of meditation. So you're aligning, one thing to do is aligning with a sky-like mind, thinking about how open the sky is. That's one way to do it. So if you have anxiety and pain, mindfulness meditation can be very helpful. If you're feeling panicky, being aware can be really helpful. Mindfulness can help with dealing with pain. So you're just slowing down. You can practice mindfulness anywhere on your commute to work, in a cafe, focusing on whatever it is you're doing. You just breathe deeply, and you focus on your breathing. And if thoughts come into your head, you label them as thinking and you let them go. So there's good breath meditations that you can do. If you're sad, guided imagery can be really helpful. So guided imagery is where you're doing some kind of a meditation where somebody's talking to you and they're giving you nice calming images. It uses visualization, so you cultivate some quality of the mind that's already there. So they will talk about light. They might talk about stuff in nature. One of my favorite guided meditations is Yoga Nidra, and one of the practitioners that I use on YouTube will give you definite nature things to focus on. So a beautiful sunset, a blue butterfly, a green frog, a clear pool of cool water. things like that. So doesn't that just make you feel calmer just hearing those words? All of those can be really helpful for you. So guided meditation is really helpful. And you can do guided meditation. You can find apps online that are guided meditation. There's no end of guided meditation for no charge on various websites. So just put it in your search engine, put guided meditation on your search engine videos, and you'll find stuff. If you have relationship issues, you can meditate on loving kindness. But if you have a big fight with a sibling or your partner or your roommate, loving kindness helps you to step outside of yourself, and you meditate on affirmations like "May you be happy." You turn these ideas of kindness onto the person that you're fighting with, and also onto yourself. May I be happy? May I experience kindness? May I experience love? So you can do guided meditations that focus on loving kindness. And then there's yoga nidra. I'm not going to read about yoga nidra right now because I have another resource that I'm going to read about. That's probably my favorite. Yoga nidra is just lovely. So remember that meditation can be really helpful for reducing inflammation. When you decrease cortisol, when you do deep breathing and you decrease cortisol, you decrease inflammation, because cortisol directly causes inflammation. Because remember, what is cortisol's job? Job is to run around your body, break down tissue, turn it into sugar so you can have energy, so you can run away from the bear. That's what cortisol is for. So cortisol is going to cause inflammation in a couple of ways. One is that with that increased sugar in your blood, you're going to increase insulin. Your pancreas is going to see that sugar got increased. It's going to increase the insulin in your body, and insulin pushes inflammatory compounds. That's one of the things that it does. So if you have more insulin, the insulin comes out to take the excess sugar out of your blood, because you're not necessarily using it if you're under chronic stress. But insulin pushes inflammatory compounds, like insulin-like growth factor, for example. So you can have more inflammation if you have more insulin around. So if you reduce cortisol, all that stuff calms down. And remember that meditation, deep breathing, directly lowers specific markers in your blood, like interleukin-6, IL-6, and C-reactive protein. So that's brilliant. Okay, so let's go on to talking about the benefits of yin yoga. Yin yoga is lovely. Yin yoga is another thing. That is one of my choice things to do that I do to reduce my stress. I like doing the poses. Sometimes I want to just lie there and have somebody take me through guided imagery, so I'll choose yoga nidra. But sometimes I want to be in stretches. I feel like, you know, I put my body through a lot, whether through walking or being seated at a computer all day. Being seated at a computer all day is stressful. So doing yin yoga is nice for me because I get into poses that help me to undo the knots that I've set up in my body. Yin yoga, is anybody can do yin yoga. If you want to get deeper relaxation and if you want to switch off your stress, it combines yoga and meditation. And also there's also restorative yoga, yin yoga is a slow paced therapeutic style of yoga. You do a specific series of postures, helps you to tune into your inner experience. It focuses on mind, body, and soul. And it's a physical practice to get you, not necessarily getting you fit. There are other exercises that get you fit, but yin is not so much for that. It's really to support your connective tissue. The term yin is from Taoist tradition. While yang relates to movement and creating heat in your body, yin is about finding stillness and cooling your body. We need both the yin and yang to find balance. In a yin yoga class, the postures are more passive. They're done mostly done on the floor, either seated or lying down. And it differs a lot from a dynamic-based class. There's no planks. The only standing posture that can be a yin class, as I understand it, is forward fold. And otherwise, there are no standing postures. Every other posture is either seated or lying down. Because it has to be a pose you can hold for a long time. So you're never going to do downward dog for 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes. You're never going to do a warrior pose for 2 minutes. But you might do, you might lie on your back with your legs propped up on a bolster that's inclined by placing it on blocks. You might lie there for 8 minutes. That's kind of restorative pose. Or you might be 2.5 to 5 minutes in, for example, pigeon pose. Or recline pigeon pose, even more relaxing. So the vinyasa and ashtanga practices target your superficial muscles. You connect with deep your ligaments, joints, and tendons and bones and the fascia and your connective tissue when you do yin yoga. And you hold the poses, as I said, for an extended period of time. Depending on the pose, it could be anywhere from 1.5 to 10 minutes. If it's going to be 10 minutes, it's going to be a restorative pose. You're probably not going to be holding reclined pigeon for 10 minutes. But like I said, you might be have your knees to one side and have your body twisted to the side while lying on a bolster. And you might do that for 10 minutes. If it's going to be a 10-minute pose, it's going to be one that you can comfortably hold for that long. And those are going to be the more restorative poses. So yin yoga helps you slow down. We have a culture that we're constantly on the go. We're stimulated. We're stimulated a lot by these darn devices that we have. Yin yoga class asks you to slow way down, return to the moment, and connect mindfully with yourself. It helps you increase your flexibility because it targets the connective tissue between your muscles and the fascia through your body. And then you get improved circulation and flexibility. It can increase your energy because we're locked in sympathetic overdrive all the time. We're being pulled from one thing to another. We got all this stuff to do. In yin yoga, you slow down significantly, drawing you deeper into your parasympathetic nervous system. And again, yin yoga is something that can help you to reduce stress and reduce inflammation and lower cortisol. Your internal organs get a chance to catch up on digestion, toxin elimination, healing, repair. Your immune system improves, your blood pressure can go down, you reduce stress and tension, and you get better hormonal balance. It can help your sleep because you're letting go of stress and tension in your body. It's going to help you to sleep better because you're getting that cortisol down. And of course, it can directly help you to reduce your stress because if you have social media, pandemics, deadlines, other craziness, we have so many things to make us anxious and stressed. You give plenty of time to do nothing than just be, and you just feel so much better after you do it. I end most days, I don't want to say 100% of the time, but it's rare that I miss a day of doing some kind of either yin yoga practice, yin restorative yoga practice, or a yoga nidra practice at the end of a day. Towards the end of the day, it's one of my things that I do is do a yin yoga practice. I might not do it if I've just had body work. And because I just want the body work to set in, and I feel like I'm calmed down enough from that. But if I haven't had body work that day, I'm going to do some kind of a yoga practice. Yin yoga helps you get in touch with yourself and feel good about yourself. It helps to open your heart, calm your nervous system. It helps with deep relaxation. And so it's a great way to reconnect with your body in a gentle and compassionate way. It helps you release stored emotions. And the poses that you hold, if you are holding for a long time, when you have a lot of tension in your body, you can hold tension and emotions in those cells. When you go to a yoga pose that works on the body part where it stores, you can get emotions that resurface, and that can lead to a lot of reactions, and it can be cathartic to release those. And you get to know yourself better. You get to know your feelings, sensations, what's going on in your body, your beliefs and emotions. When you practice yin, you can listen to your body and recognize your thoughts instead of having them race through your head. So if you want to try a yin yoga class, you can find yin yoga at most yoga studios will have it. You can certainly, if you can't get to a yoga studio or the times don't work, you can definitely find yin yoga classes online that are no extra charge than your internet. So you can go and look for yin yoga video and or, you know, use your favorite video website, and you will find Yin Yoga there. And you can find Yin Yoga classes online that are anywhere from 5 minutes to 90 minutes or longer, anywhere in between. You can look for both Yin Yoga and Restorative Yoga. The difference between Yin and Restorative is Yin focuses more on stretching the connective tissue, and Restorative Yoga, when it's called Restorative Yoga, you're going to get into poses that are probably even easier than Yin. You're probably going to be using a lot of props, and you will, and you'll hold the poses for longer, and they're going to be poses that are gentle and restorative, that are easy to do, so that you can stay in the poses for as much as 8 to 10 minutes. Very easy to stay in Shavasana for 10 minutes, not so easy to stay in Pigeon for 10 minutes. So the poses in Restorative are very relaxing, and I must say, at our local yoga studio, I think the most popular classes are the Yin and Restorative Yoga classes. She cannot, she fills up those classes so fast, and that's almost, it's good that I have the option to do it by Zoom, because the Zoom doesn't fill up, so that's nice. So Yin Yoga is really helpful for you. All right, and so here's the health benefits. Let's go to Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra is one of my new favorite things. So Yoga Nidra is not a moving practice. It's called yoga because it is, yoga is a way of being. It's like Taoism. It is a way. It's a way of being. It's a state of mind. And Yoga Nidra is a state of consciousness. That's how Ali Boothroyd describes it. So I've learned a lot from Ali Boothroyd, thanks to her. Ali Boothroyd is someone that, if you wanted to, you could find her website, and she has Yoga Nidra, the Yoga Nidra flows that she puts through, and the Yoga Nidra that's on there, their videos, although you're not going to, if you're doing it right, you're not going to watch them because your eyes are going to be closed, but that's just fine. And Yoga Nidra, it is just lovely. And it's a meditative technique. It dates back to the 6th and 7th centuries. And it predates Buddhism and the common era. So it's 7th and 6th centuries BCE, so before, you know, before the common era. Wow, so people have been doing this for a long time. So thousands of years of Hindu culture, can't be wrong, right? When you fall asleep, your brain waves move from beta waves, which is what you have when you're thinking, pass through alpha waves, and then they go down to theta waves, and then go down to delta waves. And that's a really good thing. Yoga Nidra guides practitioners into a state of relaxation between the alpha and theta state. So it's kind of like you're sleeping. So you can lie in deep relaxation between waking and sleeping. And I have actually, once I fell asleep, I was doing a Yoga Nidra video, and Ron came in and he woke me up. And he said, I heard it flip over to the next video. I didn't know what happened. And I'd fallen asleep. So Yoga Nidra, and I don't usually fall asleep, but it happened that time. Extensive benefits. It's very easy to do. You get into a pose that's super comfortable for you. So it's a good idea to lie in Shavasana, into a corpse pose. So anyway, lying on your back. If lying on your back isn't comfortable, find another pose that's comfortable for you. It could be lying on your side. It could be lying on your tummy. However, something that you can lie in and be super comfortable for at least, for whatever the duration of your chosen practice is. And you can do Yoga Nidra for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, an hour, an hour. You can do it for as long as you like. So during Yoga Nidra, you're going to enter a calming state for the mind and body through guided meditation. So the Yoga Nidra leader is going to talk you through deep breathing and slowing down your body, and they'll talk to you about, first, usually they guide you through just some breathing exercises, and then my experience of Yoga Nidra has been when they do the guided meditation, it's a progressive relaxation, so they're specifically talking to you about relaxing specific parts of your body. So they might say your shoulder, your elbow, your wrist, your hands, each of your fingers, and then the whole arm, and that's how it goes, and they'll progressively help you to relax your body. And when you do yoga nidra, it helps you create physical, mental exercises to slow everything down. The goal is to get into that stage between theta and delta. Yoga nidra can help your cognitive function. It helps to create space in your brain by reducing stress. So when you have a lot of stress, you don't have a lot of space in your brain to do most of your activities well. So yoga nidra can be used for stress management. People who do yoga nidra regularly have an improvement in their memory, helps to prevent cognitive decline, and helps you carry on your daily tasks more efficiently. It helps to improve your self-esteem and confidence. It can thoroughly help your self-esteem. There was a study in Turkey that supports that. It looked at the effects of yoga nidra on burn patients' self-esteem, and it was shown to help. So one of the things you do in yoga nidra is you set an intention called a sankalpa. So I'm like, what's a sankalpa? Carrie and I had to look up, what is a sankalpa? It's basically your intention, your heart's desire, a goal that you set for yourself. And if you have a certain sankalpa you can set for yourself, you can use that. You can change your sankalpa. You can use a sankalpa that is suggested by the practitioner. Like, you know, Ali will often suggest, I am resting deeply now. When you do yoga nidra regularly, you are likely to have better sleep and sleep quality and schedule, that you're going to sleep better in general. And one of the things that I have heard regularly is that yoga nidra, half an hour of yoga nidra is equivalent to 2 to 4 hours of sleep. So if you're not sleeping well, then you at least you can get some yoga nidra in, and that helps to replace some of your sleep. It will also help you to sleep better and longer. It will help you increase mindfulness when you are awake and help you to be more mindful and live in the moment. During yogic sleep, your mind will quiet and enter that sleep-like space, and you'll help, again, like any meditation, you're going to be able to feel the thoughts come into your head and then let them go. It's been studied to reduce symptoms of anxiety and depression. And so you have excessive alertness when you have a lot of anxiety, and that can help to calm that down. It can help to teach you mental calmness and deep physical and emotional relaxation. And it also can help you to release pent-up emotions and stress and detox your brain. It can also has been shown to help with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And the Richard Miller, who founded iRest, developed several modern adaptations. So you can look up Richard Miller if you want to, that helps to quiet parts of the body and the brain responsible for negative thoughts. And you can use it for chronic pain. So I was doing more when I couldn't move a lot, when I had a lot of pain, I was doing more yoga nidra, and I think it helped. And now I'll do yoga nidra. I'm more likely to do it if I've had, for some reason, I'm not going to do yin yoga that night. Or sometimes I'll do both. I'll do a yin yoga practice and then I'll do a nidra practice. It can lower blood pressure, help with addiction, help creativity, help reduce PTSD, strengthen your immune system, help lower cholesterol. High cortisol increases your cholesterol because of damage to blood vessels that your body needs to then repair. It can recharge your energy, help balance your nervous system, help you with menstrual irregularities, strengthen your whole hormonal system, and reduce the need for pain medication. So you can do yoga nidra a few times a week, daily, whatever it works for you. But I do recommend it highly. I find that it is a very helpful thing. So, all right. Okay, so I think I'm all talked out. So we've talked about some lovely relaxing things, and we'll continue with a couple more things next week, like the nutrition, the benefits of being of Epsom salts and being outdoors, and then we'll move on to Lyme disease and fat loss. All right, so I'm going to go now. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am France Dorch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments on my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.